So, hi everybody, I'm Natalie, compulsive overeater. And this is a picture of me when I was really young. I was in high school. I'm the person on the end. I'm not heavy. I look normal and I always thought I was heavy. I thought I was fat. That person isn't fat. But I thought I was, because all my weight goes in my stomach. Not all my weight, but that's where it shows up first. And I had a little belly. As soon as I hit puberty, I got a little belly and it was like, right? So then the self-hatred began. I wasn't heavy as a child. I'm the one in the orange top. I think she's cute. and then it started. So that's me when I'm like in my early 20s. Went to school, got out of my house. And I remember standing in the IGA, the Independent Grocers Association food store, which was in our neighborhood, in my little town of 864 people where I grew up, and saying, I am never letting anybody tell me what to do again. And I'm going to eat whatever the F I want. Like that, with that attitude and that intensity. Like, I don't even know why. I just was like, this is what I'm going to do. And I did. Fast forward about 20 more years, I'm really starting to pack on the pounds. I probably am 200 there. For a while, I went between 200, between like, I think the lowest I got outside of recovery is 178. And then as high as 230, I think it was 235 when I came in. This is me sometime in the middle there. I don't think I'm heavy, right? I would look at people and I would be like, well, I'm not as heavy as they are, right? And I'm focusing on the physical right now. I will shortly talk about everything else. And this is what I look like about 3 months before I came into program. This is Thanksgiving of 2009, and I came into program in February of 2010. So I'm been in program for 12 years. I got abstinent from Coca-Cola on February 21st, 2010. I broke that abstinence when I got my 60-day chip, and then I've been abstinent from Coca-Cola ever since then. So that's the one abstinence I've had that I've been able to maintain. Every other abstinence that I've added, I have had for a while and then not for like a day or two and then gone back on it, right? And I've been maintaining a 70-pound weight loss. I don't like to say I've been maintaining. I've been blessed with a 70-pound weight loss. I didn't do anything. I don't frigging know how. To be honest, when I came into program, I did not. That word hope that they have in step two, I think that's step two. The principle is hope. I'm not sure. I'm not a hopeful person. I did not have any hope that I could lose weight. I thought, this is how I'm going to be the rest of my life. I'm just going to have to learn to live with it. So the fact that I have physical recovery and have had physical recovery for, it probably took me about 4 years to lose all my weight. So I've had physical recovery for 8 years is astounding to me. It's still astounding to me. And I don't feel like I remember who I was before. Like, I don't feel like I remember what it felt like to be that heavy, but I know I could go back there. I mean, I'm just one away, you know? So what happened? It was a pretty stressful childhood. I was raised by two addicts. Neither one was in recovery. One was an alcoholic who got violent with, was my dad. He got violent with my mom every once in a while. And one was, my mother was a compulsive eater. When I was in the ninth grade, my mom found OA and she got recovery. But I did not identify as a compulsive eater, even though I believe I was born as one and I was already doing that, but I was active. So I don't think that I was experiencing the weight gain, you know, that people experience, because I was really active as a kid. And my mom kept a pretty good rein on our diet. Like, we didn't, I won't say we didn't have sugar in the house, because we did. We drank Kool-Aid like it was going out of style. But we didn't drink soda, and like, we didn't have a lot of junk food in the house. Surprisingly, because my mom was a compulsive overeater and her stories about what she would do with food are pretty fun. My story is when I was a kid, I didn't know how to deal with what was going on in the house. And of course, because it was in a house of addiction and violence, we didn't talk about what was going on. We didn't deal with it. And if you had anything to say about it, you quickly got beat down. You were like, no, we don't talk about that. It was just like, you just couldn't, right? So how do I deal with that, right? Food, for me, food. And so I would come home after school and I would make myself a big stack of saltine crackers with butter and a big glass of milk. And I would read and eat, read and eat. And then I would eat dinner and then we would have popcorn or something for, you know, so that's a pattern I still struggle with, is the eating at night after the day is done. It's like my cocktail, right? And then I went to college. I went on the pill, which didn't help. I gained weight from that. And then the eating career just took off, right? Plus a bunch of other careers like drinking and some drugs, right? But always based around eating, 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 eating. And how can I live this life that I don't know what to do with? Like, I knew I was going to go to college and then I did. Okay. And then now what? I have like the whole rest of my life. And no one said, find something you love to do. I mean, I went to school for acting, but there's no way I could have been a professional actress because I didn't have the confidence. You have to have a lot of confidence and persistence. And I didn't know how to do any of that stuff. I was very intelligent. So in school, it was easy for me to get good grades. I didn't have to try. So I didn't know how. The whole idea of step 10, you know, continued to take personal inventory, that word continued. I didn't know how to continue anything. If it was even a little bit difficult or a little bit uncomfortable, forget it. I mean, that's not entirely true across the board because I did try some things, but something happened when I reached puberty and I didn't, you know, I didn't know how to take care of myself. I wasn't very good, attractive. I mean, I think I'm fine, attractive now, but as a kid and as a teenager and a young woman, I didn't. And of course I was heavy, so that didn't help. So food was the answer. Right. And so how would I do that? Right. I would wake up in the morning and then fantasize all day about what I was going to eat. What am I going to eat for breakfast? I can even saying that to you now, I know the breakfast that I would fantasize about. It comes back. I know the breakfast. I can tell you in detail what it's going to include. Right. I know what I'm going to do, what my favorite escape lunch was, where I would go and sit for like 3 hours in a restaurant and eat and read. Restaurants to me were like church. And I'm not kidding about that. Like, restaurants were church. This was my sacred place, right? I was going to go there. I could read. People would bring me food, whatever I wanted. I could stay as long as I wanted. Nobody bothered me. I could escape, right? It really was like church to me. And I would do that at least every day, once, sometimes twice. So I now hardly ever ate at home, always eating out, right? And it got worse over time. Maybe I could get away with like a half of a pizza, which most people would be like, a half a pizza, that's a lot, right? But now for me, a serving of pizza is a whole pizza, like 14 inches, that no problem, that's a serving. 16 inches, no problem, that's a serving. I don't eat pizza anymore. Other things, Coke, like not the drug, you know, soda, but especially cola or Pepsi or something like that. Just, I'd have 5, 6, 7 cans a day, no problem, right? And I didn't like myself and I didn't know that. I was so worried about other people liking me. I was so unsure of myself. I did not know how to be in this life. I'm just really connecting to that. Because when I said it, what came up was I didn't know how to be in this life. And it was very painful. I didn't want to be who I was. And I didn't know how to find who I was or be who I was or even where to start looking. And food, as I've heard said, food was my solution. It was how I didn't kill myself, because I would have. And I contemplated it, right? Like, I contemplated it, and it didn't matter that I was killing myself with the food. That had nothing to do with it. That was how I lived every day, right? That's how I survived and got through. So that's what it was like. Everything was met with food: unhappiness, depression, fear, stress, too much happiness. I was an actress. So we would get on stage and I would come up from a performance. I'd be high. I'd be so high from the adrenaline and the connection. And I didn't know how to deal with it. So I'd go eat. If I felt too happy or too much joy, I didn't know what to do. It was so uncomfortable. What do I do with all these emotions? I would eat. It didn't matter. Whatever discomfort I felt, I would meet it with food. Food was, I thought about food. And then of course I tried to lose weight, but I could never really stay on a diet. I think the longest I ever stayed on a diet was a week and a half. I think you guys have heard this before, but I had a practitioner that put me on a cleansing fast. And in the middle of it, my husband and I went to Disneyland. Come on. I'm in Disneyland and I'm trying to do this fast, which was like, you know, you didn't eat anything and you just drank like whatever. Anyway, it doesn't matter. In the middle of Disneyland, in the middle of the day, I broke out into tears and I'm like, I can't do this anymore. And I broke that fast, right? Like, but mostly I would prep for a diet. I'd read the diet books. I'd get all ready. So fun. I'm going to do it. And there's a part of me that knew I wouldn't be able to, but I'm going to do it. This is the answer. And then I could maybe last a couple of days. Mostly it was by the end of that day, I was already off the diet. So I guess I wasn't a hider of eating. I ate in front of people. And as a matter of fact, if you got in front of me and my food, between me and my food, woe unto you. I mean, seriously, if the waiter waited on someone else who got seated after us, but waited on them before us, oh my God. If the hostess sat someone before us who came in after us, oh my God. Like, honestly, I was not a pleasant person, not at all. So what happened is I was visiting my family in Vegas. We went out to a buffet. I ate my head off because it's a buffet. I'm going to eat, right? I eat everything. I ate everything, had some alcohol. We got back. I'm full. I'm stuffed. You know, I'm uncomfortable. We go back to my sister's house and she had everything you could want there, every kind of junk food, right? So I proceeded to eat like another piece of pizza, an ice cream bar, a whole bag of popcorn. I had another Coke. Some candy. I'm already uncomfortable, right? But I can't stop. Like I can't stop all the time, right? And inside, in my mind, I'm going, Natalie, just stop eating. Come on, honey, stop. Fucking stop. Will you please just stop? Stop, stop, stop. And I'm in the kitchen at night. Everybody's gone to bed and I'm crying. Tears are running down my cheeks. And I'm in my head going, just fucking stop, stop. Sorry for the swear words, but that's what I was saying to myself. And I got it. All of a sudden I was like, oh shit, I can't stop. I can't stop myself. I don't have any power to stop myself. And I went to my husband and I got in bed and I said, I think I'm a compulsive overeater. Like it really didn't occur to me. And even though my mom had been in the program, it didn't occur to me that I was, right? So I knew what to do. I knew I had to go to OA. I went to OA, in Santa Barbara. That's the meeting I could find. Cause the one that I tried to find here wasn't meeting there for some reason. Anyway, that became my home meeting, the Wednesday night meeting in Santa Barbara. And I walked in the doors and I was like, oh yeah, I'm home. And what's really weird is I had tried OA several years before and had not had that reaction. I was like, oh, I'm not like these people. I just need to try harder. I know you guys understand what I'm saying, right? Like, but this time I was ready, right? I had to actually hit my bottom. So I worked the program. I got a sponsor. I lost my weight. It took a long time. And what I wanted to focus on, and I may not go the whole 30 minutes, but what I wanted to focus on is something I'm doing now. And that is, I'm very blessed. My higher power speaks to me very easily. And I know when they're speaking to me, I know that there's a direction being given. And then a lot of times I will ignore that direction because my logical brain will come in and go, well, that doesn't make any sense. And well, what if we just do this and blah, blah, blah. And I want to live a life that's magical because to be honest, in recovery, this has been a pretty magical life. And I think there's even more magic to have, right? And the magic is when I listen to my higher power and stuff happens. I don't know why. Stuff happens. I could not possibly have arranged the stuff that happens, right? And I know that happens when I listen. So I'm doing this thing where I track how often I get a hit. So I got a hit, and I'm also tracking, did I pay attention to it and listen to it, or did I ignore it? And then what happened? So I'm kind of like doing a tracking sheet of like, what are the results of this, right? Because I want to teach myself to start paying more attention to my higher power. So it's kind of like my way of doing step 11, but like all through the day, right? Like I want to be connected to my higher power, and I want to teach myself how to do that even more and to just listen, to be obedient, which that word in the past would have made me cringe. But to just be obedient, because when I listen, without a doubt, that is always a better thing. I don't always know why, but a lot of times I get to see why it's better when I listen. And I most often get to see why it's worse when I don't listen. Like, what do I do? So one example is like, if I'm going to go send an email to a client and say, here's your stuff. This happened yesterday. Here's your stuff. But I was feeling kind of rushed, and I was going to send her the email anyway. And then the voice inside said, no, don't send it yet. And for a minute, I was like, I could feel that voice come in and go, no, you got to send it. Then you'll be done. You won't have to worry. And I'm like, no, let's listen. So I didn't send it. And then I just sent it later when I had more time to make sure that everything was what I needed to send, right? I've done that before where I didn't listen, and then I didn't have everything, or I had made a mistake, which I would have caught if I had taken the time, right? Or I'll send a communication on something when the voice says, no, don't do that, just wait. And then I just really muck up the works. Like in the big book, it asks, are we not creators of confusion, right? I can't exactly, even when we're trying not to be, I paraphrase that, but are we not creators of confusion even when we're trying not to be? And I'm trying not to be, but I'm not listening. And I just, so I know this is a little weird for like a speaker talk, but it's very fascinating to me in a way of like working my 11th step, like to stay so connected and just listen to that voice. I can tell you that today the food doesn't call. I have a very different abstinence than the one I started out with. When I started out, it was just no Coke. I got recovery not being abstinent from all of the foods I should have been abstinent from. So I lost all my weight. I was still in the sugar and still doing some things I shouldn't have. I wasn't completely abstinent from all the food I'm abstinent from today. I still messed around with sugar. I didn't think I had an issue with it. I thought it was other things, and I was still eating stuff that I shouldn't have been. And then one of our lovely members here one day was at a booth with me in Ojai, and I asked her about entire abstinence, and she recommended a person to me that I listened to, and I did, and she's done a workshop for us as well on entire abstinence, and I was ready to hear it. So I got to experience what it is like to be entirely abstinent. So today I feel like I have an entire abstinence, and that doesn't mean it won't change. You know, I've been entirely abstinent for 2.5 years. It's better. My food obsession, I don't have really an obsession about food anymore, but there are foods that I have to still watch out for. My sponsor and I do that. And I try to be really honest with her about what I'm eating, because I don't want to be. Even now, I still don't want to be honest. I still had recovery. So I'm going to go ahead and wrap up now, because I don't really have much more to share. I love to hear anything that anyone has about their thing, especially like with step 11, like how do they do step 11? How do they connect to the voice inside? What do they do? But whatever, it doesn't have to be that either. So thank you, everybody. It is now time for question and answers, but I'm going to say sharing until 10:55. So the floor is open.
I can go. I'm Jennifer, compulsive overeater. Natalie, thank you for your lead and your share. Connecting with step 11, I don't know if this is exactly it, but I just had an example of like, this might be actually more step 3, like really turning things over. And I'm sorry if I've been a little fidgety and not paying attention. I have a new cat in the house and they're not really getting along, so I'm managing that a little bit, and it's been pretty stressful. And, you know, the other day I left the house and I was like, God, you've got the cats, you've got this situation. I'm like, I can't control anything. That might sound funny, but I really want to control it because I love them so much. I don't want them to fight and I don't want to have to give one away. And if anybody needs a cat, by the way, I do have a cat that I've been fostering and like kind of struggling with. He's lovely, but together they're not so great. Anyways, I've done that a couple times around like, just kind of like, okay, this is it. And kind of like, and it was a little also like, you know, if this doesn't change, then, you know, I'm going to have to take X, Y, or Z action. And so I'm like, God, this is in your hands. And, you know, life is better when I do that. Hey, the cats are better when I do that. You know, I mean, it's just kind of the magic thing. And I'm sure it's all about me like surrendering and letting go. And it's not about the cats or whatever, but it doesn't matter. Everything in my life is better when I'm like, this isn't mine. I can't do it. I can't fix it. I can't figure it out. And God, this is yours. And I take it back all the time. But thank you. What, our reading? Was I reading about repetition? That's all. Yeah, I relate with that so much in this program. It is all about repetition. It's all about, we just keep showing up to the meetings. I keep saying the prayers. Keep calling my sponsor. Keep going back to my food plan if I fall off. You know, it's not like we're doing new things every week. You know, the steps haven't changed in what, 50 something years or whatever. I have no idea. So repetition is good. Surrendering to God is good. Let's see, as far as step 11, I do prayer and meditation, handful of times a week. The more I do it, the better, the better it is, the better results I have. It just gives me a little bit of space between something happening and my reaction. That's what I find, you know, that I get from meditating more, that I don't have to react. I can pause, wait for that intuitive thought or message, and then hopefully act on that. Yeah, grateful to be here. And thank you so much for letting me share.
Thanks, Jennifer.
My name is Maureen. I'm a compulsive overeater. This is my first meeting in a while. I've had some medical problems, some unexplained fainting. And so I have, right now, I have a healing broken nose. I have had bone grafting to bones in my mouth. I'm missing teeth. I have a concussion that makes it hard for me to process and speak. And also when I get on Zoom, this is my first chance try being on Zoom for any length of time because it gives me a headache. But I'm so happy to be here. Step 11 for me. And thank you, Natalie. I got so much out of what you said. And this morning, step 11 for me, I do a lot of meditating. And what I realized this morning, you know, I've had to have a lot of changes in my food because for a while I had to do only liquid and now I'm doing soft food. But I started having, and the doctors have made me increase my calorie intake by a lot, which is a lot to me, which for somebody who has been since the age of 8 needing to lose weight, it's very weird to be told you need to put some weight on. I have lost I had lost 130 pounds. Now I'm at 125. And I have to admit that some of the physical things are getting a little better. So that's why they're doctors and I'm not. But, you know, the time when I was having trouble was late at night. And I think that the problem is I'm staying late at night. I don't need to be up late at night. You know, I need to, it interferes with my end of the day, you know, talking to God because I fall asleep on the couch, you know, so that's, you know, and I do work on my conscious contact with God all through the day, but that's important, that one last connection. And that's been sort of falling apart. And also just connection. That's what came to me in my meditation. I'm really missing the connection. I haven't been able to talk very much. Like right now, my mouth is really starting to hurt. And I think that I'll be done for a while after this. And so I haven't been able to be doing meetings or even very many phone calls with people or texting or anything. So I'm really grateful for my higher power, because that has been my connection to this program and the steps and the tools and all of that. And is that 3 minutes, Rick? Okay. So thank you all for being here. It is just wonderful to see your faces. Thank you so much.
I'm Elaine, a compulsive overeater, and so happy to be here with you. Natalie, I really want to thank you for your honesty, your vulnerability. I really get not wanting to tell your sponsor when you've relapsed and not wanting to be honest. And I'm so grateful that I had a sponsor who was so tough on me that I had to tell her the truth. And what forced me also to tell the truth is that if I would go, like, I'd have one day where I would be in the food a little, you know, it wasn't even a lot. It was a little bit I'd be into the food, but I knew it was a relapse. Didn't want to tell her, thinking, oh, tomorrow I'll be fine. I don't have to tell her. The next day would be a little worse. And I still didn't want to tell her. And the third day I knew I had to tell her, because I would no way ever be able to get back on program if I didn't come clean. And I know that now. I've learned everything the hard way. And there's, you know, and thank God I've stopped relapsing. So how did that happen? I would always have this plan after I relapsed. It was always in the evening, and I would always have this plan, this list of things I'm going to do so I don't go into the food. And it would work 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, and then a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Some point it really didn't work, and I stopped going to it anyway. So what was different? What did I do differently? Well, what I did differently was recognize that the reason I had to be abstinent and why I had to beg God to stop me from going to the food when food called was that I wasn't praying for me. I was praying because I wanted to serve God and be useful to God and be useful to others. It stopped being about me wanting to be abstinent. It stopped. It didn't even matter anymore. I shouldn't say that. It mattered. But why it mattered was that unless I was useful, particularly in program, but not only in program, unless I was able to do outreach and able to sponsor again, which thank God I am able to do now, that my life wasn't useful. It wasn't a good life. It was a life of turmoil. It was a life of chatter. And I feel so much peace now. You know, once in a while, food will still call, and I just go right to God and say, God, please, don't let me go to the food. I can't serve you if I go to the food. And that's what's worked for me. It's not about me. I recognize I'm not on this earth to enjoy myself. I'll just finish up. God wants me to enjoy myself, and I do, how I enjoy myself is by being useful. And with that, I pass.
I'm Sally, compulsive overeater. Sorry I was late to the meeting, but Natalie, I'm glad I didn't miss a word of what you had to say. It was really very moving, and I thank you. My step 11 is irregular. And on the days when I do step 11 and then pray and meditate, my food is much better. So I've been working on trying. I can't do it every single day, or I haven't been able to do it every single day, but I've been working on being willing to spend time praying and meditating at least every other day. And that seems to be working. And I only speak to my sponsor once a week, but I've been able to be completely honest with her. I don't think she's hard enough on me, but I have been able to be completely honest. And it's easier in a way to be honest with her than it is to be honest with myself. So that's something I'm also working on. So thanks again, Natalie.
Hi, I'm Rick, and I'm a compulsive eater and a grazer. And this is interesting that this is what we'll be talking about today. I was talking to someone about this before the meeting. Yesterday, I went out to lunch, and I just had some grilled chicken. And at home, I found this bread. It's called keto bread. And it's made from ground up seeds, and it's like 35 calories, and it's technically bread. And in that it'll hold stuff, but it's not something, I mean, I eat between one and three slices a day. It's not like you're like, but when I was out, I had a tiny piece of bread. It was regular bread. And because I'd forgotten, you know, it's like I eat this keto stuff, so it's never a problem. And I had this piece of bread, and it's like, I'm driving home afterwards, and it's like, I want something sweet. I mean, it's like, I don't even like candy really. But I wanted something sweet, and I couldn't figure out, and it wasn't going to go away. I couldn't figure it out. And then something in my head, this other thing in my head, which I guess I could call my higher power, said, hey, you, yeah, I'm talking to you, go have half an apple. And it's like, I'm like, whatever. So I got home and I did have half an apple, and there was enough sugar in the apple to where, but it wasn't like white sugar. It wasn't like heroin sugar. It was like just regular sugar. And so it went away. And all I had to do was just listen, which is like, at least for myself, I'm sure everyone else is different. But for me, the hardest thing about my higher power is listening to them, because they are a group. Anyway, that's basically it. You know, it's like I was raised by a bunch of churchies, and I should, that sounds derogatory. I was raised by a bunch of people who truly were Christians. Okay. I mean, like the kind that went out and helped people who were in trouble and led, you know, they didn't just talk about it. And so I was kind of put off by that. I was asked to leave church when I was 7 and never come back. And yeah, I know, I won't go into that. But I'm getting used to this higher power that actually helps me out. I just have to be willing. No, that's not true. I was going to say I have to be willing to listen. I just have to be able to understand when they're offering help, as opposed to like, yeah, whatever. And I stop and I think, I go, wow, that's a good idea. And it works. So with that, I will shut up. Thank you.
If nobody else wants to step in, I just wanted to add a couple things that I didn't get to. And one was about step 11. I have to do step 11 every day or I'm finished. I have to send my food to my sponsor every day or I'm finished. I have to listen to a meeting almost every day, really every day, or I'm finished. So I have to work this program all day long. And you know what? It's my lifeblood. I love it. I love it. It nourishes me. I still have time for my husband. Thank God I'm retired. So I don't, you know, but I've cut things out of my life. So I have more time to work this program. And I'm a copycat. I listen to Esther C on Special Edition. And she says, before she gets out of bed, she reads the first five paragraphs, starting with Upon Awakening. So I started doing it. And then she puttered around, and then she got, you know, had breakfast, whatever. And then she went through her prayer. So I'm doing what she's doing. I'm listening to what other people who've succeeded have done. And I am feeling so great. You know, I'm feeling so great. I'm listening. And I'm doing less. I've cut stuff out so I can do it. With that, I pass.
Hi, Cindy C., compulsive eater. Like I said, I'm really new. So as far as step 11 goes, I'm looking forward to even knowing what it is. Right now, I'm just kind of learning to realize I'm a control freak also, and I'm letting go and understanding that I have zero control over my eating, and I'm being sponsored by a wonderful person who is guiding me through these steps, and I am looking forward to the next step. So thank you everyone for being there and your stories. It means so much to us newbies.
Thanks, Cindy. All right, thank you everybody for your shares and for letting me be of service by sharing. It is now time to close the meeting. Would someone please read the promises?
If we are painstaking about the space of our development, we will be amazed before we are halfway through. We are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past, nor wish to shut the door on it. We will comprehend the word serenity, and we will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. We will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Are these extravagant promises?
We think not.
They are being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. They will always materialize if we work for them.
Thank you, Carol. After a moment of silent meditation, would you please join me in the we version of the Serenity Prayer? I'm going to make it a real moment, like not just a quickie.
God,
grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to
know the difference.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Keep coming back. It works if you work it.
You're worth it. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you again, Natalie.